But there has to come a place in our life where we just don't live off of the faith of our grandparents or of our parents or even our pastor or a leader. There has to come a place where we believe in Christ for ourselves. He wants you to believe in the one that He sent. He wants our life's passion to be seeking Him, to be obeying Him, to be following Him. What's really important, though, is that we let the mirror of God's Word show us where we're at in that practice, that I'm asking myself and I'm praying myself, am I listening and am I really believing in God? Because God says, if we love Him, then we obey Him. So what does God want you to do? He wants you to believe in Christ for yourself, and He wants you to listen and believe. I think one of the most common things that people ask me about or want to pray about is just the question, what does God want me to do? So today we're going to study in the book of John, and we're going to take a look at what God wants you to do. And so we're going to be studying the book of John over the next few weeks. We're going to start today with John chapter 4, and we're going to look at some different scenarios in the Bible that really outline and make it very clear what God wants all of us to do. So look with me first at John 4, and I'll start reading in verse 39, and I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says there, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see Him, they begged Him to stay in their village. So He stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear His message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we heard Him ourselves. Now we know that He is indeed the Savior of the world." So when it comes to the question, what does God want you to do? I know that many of us are thinking about in terms of a job, in terms of a vocation, in terms of a life choice or a decision. And all of that is legitimate. All of that is valid. And all of that needs to be processed through. And those are things that God will reveal to us by His Holy Spirit specifically, and sometimes He'll speak through a person. But what I'm talking about today and what does God want you to do are the foundational truths that will hold you through every season of your life, through every transition, through every process, even through every crisis. If you look at this story, so many times we focus on the Samaritan woman. And that's a story there. And that's a rich story. It's a story in how Jesus values women and treats women. It's a story of the courage of Jesus that in the day in which He lived, He was willing to talk to a woman when really, by that day and time and culture, Jesus wasn't, a religious leader was not to be speaking to a woman, and especially that kind of woman. I mean, even Jesus' own disciples, right? They didn't get it. They didn't have enough courage to say, "Why are you talking to her?" But they were thinking, "Jesus, why are you talking to her?" So the story is a standout for so many reasons. And for us to understand that Jesus goes out of His way for people. He goes out of His way for the Samaritan woman. He goes out of His way for you. He goes out of His way for me. And so one of the things is, what does God want you to do? He wants us to go out of our way for people, to show them that we value them, to show them that they matter. But one of the major things that we see in the story is after this woman goes back into the village and she faces probably all of the people who talked behind her back. Some of them may have said things in front of her face, just all of that. To go back to the city in which you live, a city in which you have a very poor reputation, and to share that you met a man who told you everything he ever did. And she told him that he was the Messiah. So these people in John chapter 4 from the village, they believed in Jesus because of what the woman said. She shared her experience and they believed. But it goes on, and the people, because they believe in him, they beg Jesus to stay. Then more people gather, so the crowd is growing. And what these people end up saying to the woman is, okay, so now we believe, not just because of what you said, but we've heard him for ourselves. Now we believe that indeed he is the Savior of the world. So one of the things that God wants you to do and that God wants me to do is to believe in Christ for yourself. I'm originally from the Detroit area, as I've shared with you. And so mainly, and it's been a lot of years that we've lived in this area, but when I lived there, in the Detroit area or in the suburbs, pretty much if people go to church, it really meant something. It just wasn't a common thing. Like, I noticed living in this area, it's more common for people to go to church. It's a common place, and it's a blessing to see people pray over their meal in a restaurant, all of that. But the difference is, one thing that I noticed in living in the South is that a lot of people go to church because, like, that's what their family does. Their mom goes, their grandma goes, so they go. And that's good. It's wonderful for families to go to church together. I'm not criticizing all of that. But there has to come a place in our life where we just don't live off of the faith of our grandparents or of our parents or even our pastor or a leader. There has to come a place where we believe in Christ for ourselves. So one of the things that I want to share with you is believe in Christ for yourself, your own personal reading, your own devotion, your own relationship, your own prayer life. It can't just be off of what other people say, because you will eventually run out of steam. You will eventually burn out on what you hear other people saying and what their experiences are. And you know, and I know how many times when we listen to other people share their experiences, we think, well, you know, that's not how God talks to me. Well, that's not how that works. You all, it's a personal relationship. He doesn't speak to all of us in the same way. And he doesn't always speak the same way to us every time in our own life. I know sometimes I will hear from God just in that calm, still, my heart becomes peaceful, and I know that that's God speaking. Other times, it's not like that. There have been a few times, very few, but there have been a few times that God has given me a dream, and I've understood that that's God speaking to me in that way. Every time we read his word, he speaks to us. And sometimes it's through other people saying this or that, that's a confirmation to me of, okay, so this is the way that God is moving. I mean, even in this study that we're doing right now in the book of John, you know, here at WHTM, we just kind of had some conversations. People had asked, some of you had asked for more teachings. I kind of thought, okay, I want to do more teachings. And it just kind of all came together that we're going to do more teachings. And I thought, okay, we'll go through the book of John, because I had just led another Bible study through the book of John. So I thought, well, we'll do that. But what I'm saying is that we all have to have our own faith. You need to believe in Christ for yourself. It's not enough to just depend on other people's faith or other people's opinions, or someone told you about a church hurt, or someone told you about this, and you just decided, I'm just going to stay away from all of that. Don't make the most important commitment of your life based on what other people tell you about their experience. Literally, believing in Jesus Christ is the most important commitment, and you don't want to relegate that to a church hurt. You don't want to relegate that to a neighbor. You do not want to miss out on who Christ is because you don't take the time to get to know him for yourself. So the first thing in terms of what does God want you to do is believe in Christ for yourself. And I'll have the verses that we go over today and some others up on the online extras on the website. Another part of understanding what God wants you to do is to really make yourself a listener and a believer of God's word. Look with me in John 5, and I'm going to read verse 24 out of the New Living Translation. He says, I tell you the truth. And these are the words of Jesus. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God, and believe in God who sent me, have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And that's John 5 and 24. So these words of Jesus, when he says, I tell you the truth, that's to emphasize in the word of God, like, I'm telling you the truth. And he says about people who will listen and believe his message will have eternal life. He says those people will never be condemned for their sins. They have already passed from death into life. So as you're watching, and myself in my own life right now, I know that I have listened to his message and I believe his message, and I will continue to listen and I will continue to believe. So that means that already I have passed from death into life. I've been born again. And if you've done that, same thing for you. You have already passed from death into life. But interesting there, he says, those who listen and believe, because there are lots of listeners. I'm sure that you've met people that can quote scripture, quote their favorite scripture, say amen. They listen to it, but the believing part is the heeding part. It's the obeying part. It's the part that puts into practice what we just heard. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So Jesus underscores you need to listen, and you need to believe in God who sent me in order to have eternal life. So I'm going to give you this example. I have a friend who's has a family member that is married. So this family member, husband and wife, the wife can quote all kinds of scriptures, and she can pray long, long prayers. I mean, they're beautiful prayers, and she's memorized a lot of scripture. But as you get to know her, she'll be very clear that she doesn't have a lot of respect for her husband. She's open about the fact that she's cheated on him several times. And I had someone ask me, well, how can you quote so much scripture and how can you pray those prayers and you don't even believe it? I'm like, okay, memorizing scripture is memorizing scripture. So that means you have a good memory. It doesn't mean that you have a relationship with Christ. Some people keep scripture and prayers on a real surface level. And it's easy for us to see that in other people. What's really important, though, is that we let the mirror of God's word show us where we're at in that practice, that I'm asking myself and I'm praying myself, am I listening and am I really believing in God? Because God says, if we love him, then we obey him. So what does God want you to do? He wants you to believe in Christ for yourself, and he wants you to listen and believe. And you know, as we listen and as we believe, all those questions that we have about our vocation, where we work, if we should put our house up for sale, if we should do this, if we should do that, all those decisions that have to be addressed, right? We live in a broken world. Until Christ comes, right, we're working, we're buying and selling houses, we're doing what we need to do to make a living, we have laundry that needs to be done. All these tasks need to be addressed. But what we do sometimes is we spend our time in our life trying to figure out how to navigate through all of the responsibilities in a broken world, and we are so busy with that. And guys, it is demanding. I mean, just life in this broken world is demanding. Sometimes I look at our laundry and I think, how do two people have so much laundry and why does it take so much time? But the challenge for us is, and what does God want you to do, is not to spend all our time navigating the temporal, but to make him our first and our most priority And the more that we listen to him and the more that we believe in God, the one who sent him, we have eternal life. But he also gets us where we need to go with these temporal things that are all knocking on all of our doors, right? Life is busy. Most of us do not lack for things to do. It's just the question of, are the things that we're doing really helping us nurture and grow in our relationship with Christ? The point of this life is not to get more stuff. The point of this life is not to impress people on social media or the people in your life group with your trips and your things. And please don't misunderstand me. Going on family trips, those things are all blessings. Having stuff is wonderful. But you know what I mean. Sometimes we can go down a wrong road. I know I have. And I'll look at my life and think, is like shopping my first priority? Do I really need more stuff? Like, what am I doing here? Am I spending time listening and believing? Am I spending time honoring my Creator? Because when I do, that question of what does God want you to do becomes so much more clear. He wants us to listen. He wants us to believe. And again, I'll have all of these scriptures up on the website in the online extras. And I want to read to you from John 6, 26 and 29. Again, we'll be studying John over the next several weeks. And we're going to pick up in John chapter 6, right after the miracle of Jesus feeding thousands. So Jesus replied, John 6, starting with 26, says, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me his seal of approval. They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. Now, can you imagine being present in such a miracle? In such a miracle where there wasn't enough food, and yet there ended up being leftovers with thousands being fed, right? And these people were hungry. They had traveled a great distance to hear the words of Jesus. And so they experienced this miracle. And of course, they're excited by it. And Jesus addresses the attitude of their heart. He says, you know, you want to be with me because I fed you, right? Think about that. Free food, free good food, and someone just supplied that to you, and you don't have to worry about finding it, making it, pay for it, right? I mean, put ourselves in their position. If you had been traveling and you see this great miracle, it's like, okay, yeah. And Jesus says, you just want to be with me because I fed you. You didn't really understand the miraculous signs. And then he says, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Now remember, Jesus was the one that wanted to feed these people. The disciples were like, we don't even begin to know how to deal with this. But he says, in terms of what does God want you to do? He says, the only work that I want from you is to believe in the one he has sent. Because when we believe in the one that he sent, everything else takes its proper priority. Right now, and I can look at seasons in my own life, you all. There are seasons that I've spent a lot of time seeking God for the temporal, seeking God for experiences. And listen, if you've ever been in the presence of God, there's nothing like it. You know, there are just some times and some services during worship, during the word, that I will just sense the supernatural presence of God, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. But what I have learned is that in those seasons where he's stretching our faith, there can be times that, and long periods of time, that we don't sense his presence at all. There have been months where I am living and believing on the one he sent by faith. I am reading the word and I am praying and I am doing the next right thing without any supernatural manifestation of his presence, no feeling, no goosebumps, no whatever. And that used to really worry me, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, I just want to recreate that experience. We're not called to chase after the temporal, and God does not want us just to be seeking experiences with him. Now, he gives us experiences, and he does miracles in all of our lives, and he answers prayer. But in the absence of that, in a still season, he's still God, and he's still good, and he still loves you, and he is still working in your life. What does God want you to do? He wants you to believe in the one that he sent. We are like these people so many times. It's the temporal. It's what can we do? Can we have another life group? Can we build another building? Can we go on another mission trip? All that is lovely, but we all know that we get so caught up in that, that we forget about believing in the one that he sent. That can happen right here in this ministry. There's so many things to do, so many emergencies, so many deadlines, trying to make this look better, working with limited resources. That can become a whole thing. And what does God want me to do? Well, sure, if we can upgrade equipment and, you know, move the station forward, praise the Lord. But that's not it. Your job's not it. My job's not it, right? It's him. I have to make sure that in whatever I'm doing in this moment, that I'm believing on the one that he sent. He's saying to these people, look, I fed you. I love you. My idea to feed you. I spoke truth to you. But he says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. So this is something that I've started doing at my house and at work here and wherever I am. Whenever I'm going to take on another thing or to do another thing, I ask myself, how much running around is that going to cost me? How much money? Like, how much time is that going to take? And is it even worth it? Or is it just like another thing that you can do? But am I seeking the one that he sent? Do I really want to just live in his presence? You all, this is a hard question. So many people will say, you know, but I'm in this season and my prayers are not being answered the way that I'm praying. I've been praying for such a long time. You know, I go to church, I do the things. All of that. And what I want to say to you in those times and in those seasons, especially when God seems silent or he seems distant, and people say, well, if he seems distant, guess who moved? It's you. That's, you know, that's true. But you all, sometimes when we're really seeking him, he can also seem distant. And that can be a test of faith. And what does God want you to do? Certainly not more stuff. He wants you to believe. He wants you to believe in the one that he sent. He wants our life's passion to be seeking him, to be obeying him, to be following him. You know, there seems to be sometimes such, it's not just competition in the mainstream secular world. There can be such competition in local churches, such competition inside of our own hearts to prove that we have a valid ministry or that we're worth something. Or, and honestly, like, I've seen all that. I've done all that. I don't wear a t-shirt, so I didn't get a t-shirt for it, but it leaves you coming up empty. The only thing that won't leave you empty is God. And he's not here to put more demands and more things and more pressure on us. He's saying to us, slow down. Take your time. Count your blessings. Seek the one that I sent. Seek Christ. Look at your life right now. What does it look like? Is it frenetic activity every single second of the day, trying to get your kids from here to there and doing this for church and doing that? And again, serving at church is a wonderful thing. Helping your children with their homework is a wonderful thing. But the best lesson that you can teach your children is that it's okay to be still and know that He's God. Our kids can't do enough sports activities and enough things to build their confidence ever if it's without Christ. And so when you say, well, what does God want you to do? This is what He wants you to do. He wants you to believe in Jesus, the one who God sent. Jesus said to these people, this is the only work that I want from you. So what did He mean? It's work. Because it is work. Because we have to have enough faith to lay the temporal aside. And the temporal calls to all of us every single day. And we do have to deal with it. I'm certainly not suggesting that you don't load your dishwasher and that you don't, you know, you don't do your laundry and that you don't put gas in your car. Because if you don't, you will, if you keep driving the car, you will run out of gas. What He's saying is, don't make the temporal what you chase every single day. What will happen if any of us chase the temporal every single day? We will get tired. We will get burned out. We will get grouchy. All of those things are signs that our hearts and perspective and our time is being invested in a wrong way. He says, the work that I want from you is to believe in the one I sent. So what He's saying is the point of all of that, the point of me showing you the miracle, the point of me multiplying the food, the point of that food being served and picking up the leftovers, all of that was to show you that when you seek God, even your food, your possessions, everything will be taken care of. God will do that as we seek Him first. It's seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things, right, will be added unto us. So we'll have everything up on the website, the online extras with these scriptures. And so today what we've talked about and what does God want you to do, He wants you to believe in Christ for yourself, have your own faith. He wants you to listen and believe. And He wants you to believe in Jesus, the one who God sent. So as life comes at you full force and choices need to be made and all of that, take some time to pause and remember today's truth. Believe in Jesus, the one who God sent. Out of time, but I say goodbye and God bless you.
Don't give in. God's word says you're an overcomer. It takes training. It takes discipline. And so when you're fighting that good fight of the faith, you take your story, whatever it is, and you saturate it in faith, and you fight for it.
Visit MonicaSchmelter.com to schedule Monica to speak at your next event.
Log on to www.ctntv.org, where you can make a prayer request, view our program guide, see who's on Bridges, or even watch one of Monica's latest teachings. Log on to www.ctntv.org.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.